Welcome to the Ignite Church podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We pray that this message will bring you hope and ignite your faith. Now lean in and enjoy the message.
And when I started thinking about this concept of doors, I started thinking about the concept of buildings. Right, like I'm enamored with buildings. I love the concept of buildings. I love to see new buildings go up. One of my favorite things to do is just walk through the city of downtown Miami and see new sky rises build and new homes build and see people fill these things. And I love buildings because what's contained with inside of the building, right? Like for example, like we go to malls. I love going to malls. You know, malls have clothing stores, they have shoe stores, they have restaurants. Another building that I really love going to is the bank, right? Like I love playing with, if you've done Financial Peace University, I love playing with like physical cash. So just going to the ATM, being able to deposit and withdraw money is great. But my favorite building is a home. You know, for me, there's nothing like the concept of coming to a home. One of my favorite things about getting married for the first time was being able to purchase or start living in a home with my wife. You know, there's nothing like coming home after a long day from work and you just go home and you sit on your couch or you go to the bedroom, you just lay down, you turn on the TV and you just start watching. For me, there's nothing better than that. After a vacation, my favorite place to go to is my home, yeah. Right? I mean, there's no place like home. But if we're honest, there's always this one simple common thing that keeps us from entering a house. Like, it's a problem that we all have. Right? And that simple thing, it's really little, and you guys have been talking about it a lot, and it's this concept, it's a concept of a key. It's small, but it's significant. Yeah. It's the only thing that really keeps you from entering a home. Yeah. I love what Pastor Mekong Carter said. He said, small keys open big doors. Wow. Small keys open big doors. You see, a lot of people want the house, but they forget the necessity of the key. Mm-hmm. It's like me giving somebody a BMW and be like, hey bro, this BMW is yours. But first you gotta take the key. Bro, I don't want the key. Just give me the car. Don't give me the key. I just want the car. Well, you can have the car, but without the key, the car will never function. Yeah. You see, there's something specific and powerful about the concept of a key. And many of us, what I want to talk about today is really, if I were to title this, I would title it Accessing a Movement of God in My Life. Mm. But not only accessing a movement of God in my life, but really accessing a movement of God for this church. Wow. Like for me, I put this message together months and months in advance, right? And it's just like a very skeletal message. But this isn't like the typical thing that I would like do on a Sunday or what you guys would do like on a Monday type of deal. And I asked Eric for permission. But I really sense that this was a message for like core leader DNA of Ignite. And even for those who are watching online, maybe you're watching online for the first time and you're thinking, should I commit to this? The answer is yes. And this message is really for that. So how to access a movement of God in my personal life and how to access a movement of God in this church. And I want to take a look at a story that we find in John chapter 2. And I love John chapter 2 because John chapter 2 is this concept of when Jesus shows up to the party. So we're going to read John chapter 2, and this is what it says. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were visiting the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, there were set there water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast, and they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water, they knew the master of the feast of the bridegroom was called. And he said to them, every man at the beginning set out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. And I love this story of when Jesus, he shows up to the party. And before we get into the keys that I believe that we need in order to access a movement of God in our life, and for this church, I first want to talk about some facets of Jesus, right? Because I feel if we have good, strong theology, the blessings will just come as a result. And sometimes what I see that happens often is sometimes we're so busy chasing doors that we forget to chase Jesus. And then the door is open and we're not satisfied with the door because the door is not everlasting. Only Jesus is everlasting. So what I want to do is I want to paint out some facets of who Jesus is. Because if we get a clear picture of who Jesus is, doors are irrelevant. Doors are just going to open because of who Jesus is. And the first thing that we see is this, is that Jesus has authority. I mean, Jesus turned water into wine. Like, he didn't just turn the color of the liquid. Like, it wasn't like water turning into Kool-Aid. This was like a chihuahua turning into a three-story mansion. I mean, these are two completely different things. And Jesus displays his authority within this miracle. For example, it went from H2O to CH3, CH2OH. That's two carbons, two hydrogens, and one oxygen. I hope I'm right. And this is what I'm not a chemist by any chance, and I failed biology, but this is what I know. If something does not have a carbon molecule, it's not a living thing. But the moment that carbon enters, it then becomes a living thing. Not only does he give one carbon, but he gives two carbons. So the first thing that we see that Jesus displays through his authority is, number one, Jesus has the power to raise dead things to life, right? That he brings dead things to life. And the second thing that we do is that we see is that he's not just a God of life, but he's a God of life and life more abundantly. So we see Jesus, he begins to meddle within the molecules of this wine, where he begins to show it like, this is no longer a dead thing. This is a living thing. And this is what I feel is happening with Ignite, that this is a living thing. Amen. That people are no longer going to merely exist, but they're going to experience life for the first time. Wow. As they're ignited with the gospel and they're risen from dead and they wake up and they're alive with Jesus because of the power and the authority that Jesus displays in his miracles, that he's not just a God of life, but he's a God of more life and a God of life abundantly. I love how Jesus, how he displays his authority, and he's so meticulous that he can go into wine and change molecular structures, because if he can change the molecular structure of wine, I truly believe that he can change the molecular structure and the cellular things that cause cancers in people's body and cause them to disintegrate. And we see healing and I just see lupus, people being set free from addictions and diseases because of what Jesus can do, because he can just meddle in this stuff. He's the creator. He can interfere with anything that he wants to interfere with. Jesus is not limited by what we're limited by. In fact, Jesus, he displays authority. Amen. The second thing that we see is that Jesus displays an authority over time. I have no idea how to make wine. I've been to a winery once, and then they walked us through the process. But what I know is that you get wine, and you do what you need to do to wine, and you put the grapes where they need to be kept. And I don't know how the process works, but to make a good bottle of wine, it takes about 4 years to make a good bottle of wine. Jesus didn't just change water into wine, but he also showed us he has authority over time. Yes. That what takes man 4 years to do, with God, he can do in a second. And with Ignite, I truly believe that there's big vision for what God wants to do. I remember Eric told me Ignite, and a picture of a building just came into my head already. And I'm here to declare that what man does in 4 years, God can do in a second. Yeah. God can do in a day. And why not, right? Like, humanity is dying. Like, Jesus is not just chilling back waiting for humanity to be saved. We are the front line. And I think if we stay aligned with God and aligned with Jesus, I feel like he could just rapidly, supernatural, begin to do things in a matter of seconds, in a matter of time. But the next thing we see is that he's a God of provision. Amen. God is a provider. It says 180 gallons of wine were there. That's about 150 bottles. Now, let's be conservative for a second. I've heard of bottles of wine that are about $14,000, right? But let's be conservative. Let's say that each bottle of wine costs about $100. That means that Jesus shows up and he brings a $75,000 gift to the wedding. Ignite, and I believe the Church of God, is never limited by finances or resources. Yeah. We serve a God who has 1,000 camels on 1,000 hills. He is able to provide more than what we need in order to do what God has called us to do. So I love how Jesus, like, within this miracle, because sometimes we can just see a miracle of God and we can just look at the miracle, but we won't see the depth of who Jesus really is. And I think the reason Jesus does miracles isn't so that people can just be like excited about the door that was open, but so they could fall more in love with Jesus. Amen. And I feel like once we have a strong picture of who Jesus is, just doors begin to happen. Wow. And I want to talk about the atmosphere that was set at this party for Jesus to do what he did. So I want to talk about six keys that were at this party that unlocked doors for an access and a movement of God to happen in their lives and in the kingdom of God in this moment. And the first thing that we see that happened, the first key that we see that was used to unlock a door was an invitation. Wow. Jesus was already there. Sometimes I find that in our personal lives, we wait for crap to hit the fan before we invite Jesus into our situations. Yeah, wow. Like already when it's too late, we ask Jesus to come down and fix a problem. But the reason that the miracle had already happened was because Jesus was already there. Amen. He was already invited to the wedding. I thought about the concept of throwing a surprise party, right? Like every year, it never fails, I always throw a surprise party for my wife, and she acts surprised every year, even though she knows that it's happening every single year. When the surprise party is being set up, it's a lot of fun. Before my wife shows up, we're all hiding, we're all having conversation, we're all talking, it's a lot of fun. But the party doesn't really start until the guest arrives. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, what I've seen churches do is that they'll throw surprise parties for Jesus, but they'll forget to invite him to the party. Wow. So we're all there and we're all having a good time, but the party never really happens because Jesus never really shows up. He's never really invited. And what I believe for Ignite is this, is that Jesus is the very first member of Ignite Church. Wow. That Jesus is the head of this church. Yeah. And what we need to remember is that we always need to invite Jesus, not only in this church, but into our personal lives. I mean, come on, how often does our life feel mundane? It's just an everyday, I'm not talking about non-believers, I'm talking about believers. Where life just feels like I'm in a rotation of life. I wake up in the morning, I brush my teeth, I take a shower, I go to work, I go home, I go to the gym, I go to bed, and then I just do it all over again. And then sometimes I pray, sometimes I think about God, but how often am I really intentional about inviting Jesus into my life? The Christian life is a lot more than just showing up to church on a Sunday. It's a lot more than just going to church 14 times a week. The Christian life is meant to be a life that's yielded to the Holy Spirit, that's always seeking what the Holy Spirit is doing, that's always following what he's doing. We always have to be in step with the moving God because God's always moving. And if we're out of step, we're never going to catch the rhythm of what God wants to do. So we always have to be moving. And the only way that we do that is that if we have and invited Jesus in our life, where he needs to be invited. Yes. Second thing that we see here is that we see a problem. The second key to access the movement of God, I believe, is a problem. They ran out of wine at a wedding. Back then, this was a big deal. Like, people get sued. That's like throwing a wedding today, running out of croquetas and getting sued. It's insane. Back then, that's what happened. You would run out of wine, you would get sued. Can I say that Ignite, we have a problem? Right? Like, we don't have a building yet. It's a problem. We have babies and no kids ministry yet. That's a problem. We have limited resources. That's a problem. But Jesus always begins a miracle with a problem. Yeah. I would be more worried to start off good and successful and just think we got this on our own. But I'm thankful when sometimes problems come into my life because that means that I'm leaving room for Jesus to work something out. Wow. Right? Like if we look out through the scripture, Jesus always moved as a cause to a problem. Yes. Lazarus was dead. That's a problem. Jesus resurrected him. Yes. 15,000 people were hungry. That's a problem. Jesus fed them all. Wow. Right? Like sin was a problem. Jesus came, died for us on the cross, 3 days later, buried, resurrected from the grave. Yeah. He solved the issue. Wow. God always moves on behalf of a problem. What's a problem that you have in your life? Like, what are you facing? What are our marriages looking like? Mm-hmm. Like, are we communicating with our spouse? Like, are our marriages okay? Are date nights still important? Like, is that stuff still vital? Mm-hmm. Like, is that a problem? It's okay to be a Christian and have a marriage issue. Sometimes we think it's not okay, it's okay. But let's invite Jesus into the problem. Wow. How are our finances? Are our finances in order? Are we communicating okay with our finances? Are these things in order? Because if it's a problem, I wanna let you know it's okay. Jesus moves on behalf of problems. This is where he begins. Jesus always begins a miracle at impossible. Wow. A problem is never a limitation for what God can do. So Jesus, he's always attracted to problems. third key that I see happen is this, is that there was a voice. Third key that I see that access the movement of God was a voice. I love Mary, right? Like, I grew up Catholic. So like, if you grew up Catholic, you worship Mary. Once you become Christian, it seems like people forget about Mary, which I also think is wrong. I think Mary is worthy of some respect. I mean, think about it. She carried the Godhead within her. Some people even say Mary was the first evangelist. She was the first person to have Jesus on the inside and bring him to the outside. I mean, she had to have some sort of prophetic edge or to have some sort of understanding because she saw a problem and used her voice. She saw that the wedding was out of wine, and she was the first person that went to Jesus to say, hey, I need you. I need you to do something. And then when Jesus responded in a way that looked like he wasn't ready to do the miracle, she still had perseverance. And she forgot what Jesus said, and she looked at the servants, and this is what she said. Whatever he says to do, do it. And I feel like that's the attitude we need to have. Yeah. God, hey, whatever you say that you want us to do, we're going to do it. Whatever you want us to give, whatever you want us to sacrifice, however you want us to live this life, God, we're going to do it. You want to see God open an amazing door in your life? Obedience is a key. Mm. Obedience is a massive key to access a movement of God in our life and in church. We always have to be willing to hear what the Spirit is saying and follow the Spirit's prompting. Jesus, whatever you want, I'm going to do it. God, give us the passion and the fervor that Mary had to tell Jesus and to bring a problem to him. Like, faith has a voice, yes. Right? Like, without no voice, there is faith. There is no faith. Faith has a voice. You got a voice what the problem is. A problem only stays a problem if it's not voiced. The moment you voice a problem, it has the potential to become a miracle. Yes. The moment you voice a problem, it turns into a seed. And what God can do with the seed, it's amazing. God can do miracles with a problem, but we need to have faith. We need to have a voice. She wasn't passive. She wasn't passive about what she wanted. Yeah. Let's not be passive with the things of God. I don't believe that God holds things back just because he wants to play like, you know, big kid, like who wants to be a bully. It's because I believe that Jesus wants to build up perseverance. Because sometimes the things that we're asking for are so heavy that if we don't have a system or a history of perseverance in our life, once we grab that blessing, it's going to crush or it's going to crush us. And I think that we have to have that perseverance. We can't be passive. The fourth key that I see that happened at this wedding, that was at this wedding, that access the movement of God was a container. There was a container there. There were stone pots. Bible says there were about 180 gallons of water pots there. It's a lot of containers. Yeah. And for me, this is one of those points that grabbed my attention the most, because it is so important for us to forge within us the capacity to hold in what God wants to do in our life. We have to be desperate to forge within us the capacity to hold in what God wants to do in our life. Right, like I think about this concept of priorities. Last week we had Pastor Gary Clark from Hillsong London come to our church, and he shared an amazing thing. And for a second, he spoke about this concept of priorities. Right, like we all have a priority list in our life. Like sometimes it looks like husband, wife, kids, jobs, church, and sometimes that's successful, but sometimes it's not. Because when life begins to pull in different directions, these priorities, they begin to wage war with one another. Mm. But what Pastor Gary Clark said, live a life where you make all these things a priority, because they all should be number one. We all should treat all of them like a priority. But then if we live the life like that, then what that does is that it brings us to a point of tension. Because it brings us to a point where our priorities are no longer waging over each other, but what's happening now is that they're stretching us. Yeah. And sometimes we avoid the stretch so much. Yeah. We are not called to avoid the stretch. Mm. I believe that this is a season for stretch. Mm. We have to forge within ourselves the capacity to hold in what God wants to do in our lives. Are we forging within ourselves generosity? Sometimes we want to see financial breakthrough happen, but we're not forging within ourselves the process of generosity. Mm. Are we digging wells of prayer where we're getting down deep and we're just seeking God and we're asking him desperately where God, hey, we're just forging ourselves. You know what God is calling us to do when I think about the concept of building church? He's calling us to dig holes. Yeah. Mm. Right? The first thing you do is that when you build a church or you build any building is that you have to lay out a strong foundation. but you have to dig a hole. Once you dig a hole and you forge within yourself that capacity, Jesus begins to lay it and he becomes the foundation. And that's a life that we need to live. We're constantly forging within ourselves the capacity to hold in what Jesus wants to do. I think about Malachi where it says, bring your tithes to the storehouse and I will fill up your barns. I thought for a second, I don't have a barn. And you know, in these days, people didn't live in barns. People typically don't live in barns today. They have homes, right? And outside in the back of their homes, there's a barn. God doesn't only want to fill your home. He wants to fill your barn. But we need to build barns. We need to forge within ourselves the capacity to hold what God wants to do Amen. In our life. Amen. Number five, I see this, and this is kind of like a made up word, but I see there were drawers there. Drawers. I don't know if that's like an actual word, but you'll catch on to what I'm trying to say now, because the servants drew water from the pots that was in the pots, and then it turned into wine. So verse chapter 8 says this, in John chapter 2 verse 8, it says, there he told them, now draw out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The Bible says that they drew, I love this, this is crazy. The Bible says that they drew water. Notice, they did not draw wine. It wasn't until we drew water that it then turned into wine. Yeah. Mm. You can't have the wine before the drawing. Yeah. It takes a step of faith. Yeah. Wow. So we have to be willing to say, hey, God, you know what? I'm going to draw some water. And even though it doesn't look like anything miraculous, I believe that as I bring it to you, God, you're going to turn this into wine. We have to be willing to draw water. And you may be looking at Ignite and be like, man, there's some good water here. Well, what are you drawing from? We have to get in deep and draw. It's not until we draw into the waters of Ignite that we're not going to experience the wine that God has for us, the supernatural power that God wants to put on display and that God wants to do throughout this church and throughout this city. But we have to be, we have to draw water. And for me, I feel like this was an awesome story, but I also feel like it was kind of a sad story, because there were people at the wedding who didn't get to experience who Jesus really was. And he put his glory on display and people still missed it. Bridegroom comes out to Jesus and he says, you saved the good wine until now. You see, at that time, people would get super lit on the good wine early, right? And then once people were drunk enough, they'll bring out the bad wine because people wouldn't even notice like we're drinking bad wine. But I feel like it's a tragic story, because the only people who knew that Jesus was God in this story was Mary, the disciples and the servants. And this was a huge miracle. I mean, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus turned water into wine. Sometimes we look at that, we're like, that's not that big of a deal. But it's a miracle that's unique within its design, right? Like, there's a lot of people that Jesus healed. There's a lot of people that Jesus resurrected. Jesus opened blind eyes a lot. He healed crippled legs a lot. But this water into wine event, this happened once. Like, this was a wedding. I mean, think about this. This was the very first miracle that he did that catapulted Jesus into the next 3 years of ministry that no human being can touch. I mean, this was a crazy, crazy miracle. In fact, John says that with this miracle, Jesus decided to put his glory on display. With this is the miracle that Jesus said, I'm going to perform this. And when this miracle, people are going to see my weight. They're going to see who I am. But only a few people realized that Jesus was God in this story. Mary, the servants, and the disciples. I think it's sad, because people were too intoxicated to realize that the bridegroom, that the winemaker was in the room. And I think about life. How often do we get intoxicated by life that we forget the winemaker? That we're so intoxicated by what's happening in our lives that we forget the source of where the wine comes from. Yep. Right, like this is why burnout happens in church. Mm-hmm. Right, because they're always trying to serve. But they forget the winemaker. Yeah. They're too intoxicated on the old wine to remember to focus. Wait, the winemaker, he's here. Right, like are we intoxicated? Well, like what's intoxicating your life right now? That just has you like in this state where you're just not focused on the possibilities of what Jesus can do. What's taking your stress, your worry, your anxiety? What's intoxicating you? right now. Like, Mike, you know, but I need healing. I know that you need healing, but what you need to meet the healer. Wow. Mm, I need, Mike, I need provision. I need finance. I know you do, but what you need to do is you need to meet the provider. Mm-hmm. I need my marriage to work. I need this thing to work out. But what you need is that you need to meet the restorer. Yeah. I need wine. No, what you need is you need the winemaker. Yeah. You need the winemaker. I think it's a disappointing story. In fact, I think maybe Jesus even possibly left a little disappointed. I mean, how often does Jesus look at our lives and he's like, they drink my water and they breathe my air. But do they remember that their help comes from me? Do they remember to look at me? Let's not get too intoxicated that we forget that we have access to the winemaker. Amen. There's more for your life and there's more for this church. And God wants to do things that we can't even begin to imagine. But we need to have connection with the winemaker. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your love, and your mercy. We thank you for everything that you're doing here through Ignite. We thank you for your spirit that's here. Yes. So Father, I ask right now, Lord, that this word will become a reality in our hearts. Yes, Lord. That we would not only be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of your word. Yes. Jesus, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for what you're doing with Ignite. We thank you for what's in store for the future. Yes. I declare blessing, and God, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would begin to open hearts in this city and open ears in this city so that people can experience you. Yeah. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
At Ignite, we count it a blessing to engage each week with supporters just like you. If you were blessed by today's word, subscribe to our podcast and share it with someone you know. We believe in spreading the message of Jesus like a wildfire. Thank you for your support, and be sure to check us out on any of our social media platforms at Church Ignite. Until next time, be blessed, and remember the best is yet to come.